There is victory for the believer who holds fast to the name of Jesus. Join Kenneth Copeland and his special guest Rick Renner as they reaffirm God's commitment to the believer who walks by faith. Next on The Believer's Voice of Victory.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to The Believer's Voice of Victory broadcast. Let's have a word of prayer. We'll get right into today's Bible lesson. Father, we just praise you and we thank you for your word. We thank you for your presence. And we invite you, Lord Jesus, to manifest yourself in this place throughout this radio and television audience all over the world in every way you have planned, every way that pleases you. And we belong to you and we are yours to command. And we thank you for it. Revelation from heaven, insights and ideas and words that move heaven on the earth. And we thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Rick Renner, bless your heart, man. I appreciate your life and ministry. These broadcasts have been so rich and just good.
It's a privilege to be here.
Thank you. I just appreciate you being here, man. Oh, listen, don't forget, download your study notes right now, kcm.org/notes. And you'll have all the outline of our entire broadcast today. And use it. It's free. Use it any way you want to teach and preach and witness and just study and get strong. Praise God.
Praise God.
Amen. Okay, teacher, where do we go from here?
We're going to begin in Revelation chapter 2, and we're going to begin in verse 12 and then just read into verse 13.
All right.
It says, "To the angel of the church in Pergamum write, these things saith he which has the sharp sword with two edges." And as we saw in yesterday's program, this was really a reference to the governor or the proconsul of Pergamum who had a sword. And it was called the right of the sword. And when believers would come before him for trial, if that sword remained in an upright position, it meant they would live. But if he dropped the sword, it meant that they were to be executed. And so Jesus here was saying to the church of Pergamum, if you want to know the one who really has the sword,
amen.
I am the one that has the sword.
Amen.
I'm making final decisions. And then he said, I know thy works. And Brother Copeland, as we saw yesterday, this word know is the word oida, which means I've been there. I've seen it with my own eyes. This is not something that's been related to me through prayer or by an angel, but I have been among you. This is firsthand observation. And it's important to note that Jesus says this to all seven of the churches. In Revelation.
Well, he did, didn't he?
He did.
Yeah, he said it to every one of them.
In Revelation chapter 2 and verse number 2, he said to the church of Ephesus, I know thy works. In verse 9, he said to the church of Smyrna, I know thy works. In verse 13, to the church of Pergamum, he said, I know thy works. To the church.
And you know, at first thought there, Rick, people have the idea, I know what you've been doing. That's not what he's saying at all.
Not at all.
I'm involved in this. Every time this entire, well, all last week and then this week too, every time we've gone into this, I think about what Jesus said to Saul of Tarsus. Why persecutest thou me? He didn't say, why are you persecuting my people? Why are you persecuting the Christians? No. He said, you're persecuting me. You touch one of mine, you're touching me. And this is the sense I get from what he's saying. He's saying, now repent. I've got you back in this, but you're going to have to work with me because if you continue to go this other way, there's not anything I can do for you. But I know what's going on here. And I'm telling you the truth about this, and what I'm telling you here will fix this for you if you will listen to me and do what I say.
Think what a comfort that must have been to their hearts, because here they were facing the powers of darkness. They were facing civil authorities, and suddenly Jesus said, I'm aware.
I'm here.
I'm here.
I'm right here.
I've walked among you. I know.
That is so
rich, man. I know all about it.
That is so good.
I think about people watching the broadcast who have wondered, is Jesus really aware of what I'm facing in my life? And Jesus says, I know all about it. I know about all of your activities. I know about everything you're going through. And he doesn't just say that. He continues in verse 13, and he said, I know where you dwell. I know where you live. I know what you're facing. And the word dwell must tell us what the believers in Pergamum felt. You know, Pergamum was such an evil place. It's impossible to exaggerate the darkness of that city. Not only was it the Acropolis, which was filled with temples of all kinds, but nearby was a place called the Asclepion, which was a big healing center where demonic power operated. And these believers dwelled in the middle of all of that.
It must have been so oppressive, it's just terrible.
Well, and the word dwell really means to permanently dwell. And so Jesus knew that many of them probably would have liked to escape to someone else, but that's where they were planted.
Rick, I just heard this from the Lord. Well, if he knew about it, why didn't he do something about it? Listen to me. That's what he's doing. He's doing something about it. Well, why didn't he just get in there and just stop him? That isn't the way it works. Without faith, there's no connection with God. And that's the reason it's impossible to please God without faith, because that's the spiritual connector. And faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God, and he's giving them his Word right now. He is doing something about it. So, well, why? If he knows where I am, he knows where I dwell, why don't he do something about it? Let me tell you something. God has done something about it. He raised Jesus from the dead. He sent the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost. You're in his presence right now. He has sent people to minister and to testify to you. He has sent us today to be your prayer partner today and believe God with you today, right now. So it is never, ever God's fault. If there's a failure, it's on our side, not his, because he's done his part. But when he makes a move towards you, you grab it, praise God, and say, this is it. I'm coming out right now.
Well, and if you look at this verse 13, that's what they were doing. I know thy works, where thou dwellest, even where Satan's seat is, and holdest fast my name. The word hold fast is a translation of the Greek word krates. It's a plural form of the word kratos, which means a powerful grip. These believers were holding tightly to the name of Jesus, indicating that there were powers trying to take the name of Jesus away from them. But the more the persecution, the more pressure, these believers were holding tightly to the name of Jesus.
Which means they were holding, if you're holding fast to his name, then you're holding fast to his authority, and you're holding fast to the covenant that you have with him. You're holding fast to it. You're not moved by what you see, and you're not moved by all this is going on around you. Man, you are here to stay. That's the attitude of the non-compromising believer.
That is right.
That's him right there, isn't it?
One expositor said it was like a tug of war, that the world was pulling on one end, and they were determined that they were not going to let loose of the name of Jesus.
Not going to give it up now. Boy, that's good, man.
Isn't that good?
Yes, it is.
I write here, to try to imagine the immense pressures that the believers of Pergamum must have felt as they endured criticism from unsaved family members, hostile co-workers, and navigated the watchful eyes of distrustful neighbors and lived under the shadow of the Roman proconsul's sword. They were forced to think hard about every step they took, every statement they uttered, every location where they chose to assemble. Any word overheard or misinterpreted could have been reported to authorities. But yet, in spite of all the pressures, they refused to be intimidated, and they spurned every attempt to deter them from their commitment to Jesus Christ.
Rick, give us the benefit of your experience here. You have been ministering in the former Soviet Union now for over 20 years.
24.
24 years. When you went there, I know because I came at your invitation and ministered there not too long after you first went there.
You came several times.
And the people were like this. You walk down the street, the people wouldn't even look at you. so oppressed. Now, what I wanted to bring up here was, in the Soviet Union, this was going on. Every believer, every person that held close to Jesus and believed Him were hanging under the sickle.
Actually, that knowledge helped me write this.
I just saw that while you were reading that. And what I'm asking you is to give us the benefit of the testimonies that you've learned and the things that you've heard over the last 24, almost 25 years now, of people that came through there and came through victoriously and now are reaping the benefits of the deliverance that Jesus gave them.
You know, Brother Copeland, almost every testimony I know is a victorious one. Believers held to the name of Jesus and they clung to one another. They walked through every one of those struggles together. And they walked through in the power of God. And I really don't know very many stories of people who failed in their faith or people who rejected their faith. God's
power sustained them. No, but I'm talking about, for instance, one that has always just been a big testimony in my thinking that was given to me, that they realized, this group that was meeting together realized that they had a spy in their midst. They were getting attacked. They knew where they were and they were meeting in different places. And finally, they made the announcement at this one meeting. Now, our next meeting, the place and the time.
That's what they did.
You will have to pray and get the directions where to go and what time to be there and on what day and the location and so forth. That's the only way you're going to get it. And they all showed up but one guy. So the spy couldn't get it. They didn't make the announcement. So from then on, you had to pray and find out where the group was going to meet. Now, Rick, I'm telling you, that'll sharpen your wit spiritually, won't it?
It will.
But that's a non-compromised move.
You know, the interesting that the believers of the Soviet Union who suffered were Pentecostals and Baptists, and they kind of suffered together. And they just would not let go of their faith. It didn't matter what happened. They got more creative. They became more committed. They just dug in. And they outlasted all of that.
The whole thing.
They just outlasted.
Yeah, they outlasted the whole deal. That is so exciting to me. Forgive me for interrupting you, but that just...
Oh, it's wonderful.
That's...
But in spite of all the pressures, the faithful believers in Pergamum and the former Soviet Union would not be deterred from their commitment to Jesus Christ. There were some who compromised. However, Jesus doesn't deal with the failures. I think that's very interesting in this chapter. He doesn't say, now let me make a list of all the people who have released their faith, all the people that have been unfaithful. Jesus just commends those that are faithful.
That's rich. That is so good, man. Hallelujah.
Even in those days wherein Antipas, my faithful martyr, who was slain among you, where Satan dwelleth. That verse twice tells us that Satan dwelled in the city of Pergamum. It says where Satan's seat is. And Brother Copeland, it was a real seat. I mean, it was a real physical altar that looked like a giant throne. And from that place, Satan's power had dominated. But the light of the gospel began to shine. And those believers would not let go of the name of Jesus. And it took time. But eventually, those powers succumbed to the light.
Praise God.
And they always do.
Oh, yeah.
And I want to say to our viewers, if you're facing something difficult, don't give up. Hang on to the name of Jesus. God will be faithful to you. Make no room for compromise. And God will stand by you, and you'll come through in the power of the Spirit.
Amen.
You'll come through. Then he says in verse 14, but I do have a few things against thee. The word few refers to just a few people. This was not a big group inside the church. This was just a small group. But there was a small group who was doing something which really disturbed the Lord. He says, I have a few things against thee, because thou hast there, the Greek says, you have there among you, right among you, them that hold to the doctrine of Balaam, who taught Balak to cast a stumbling block before the children of Israel, to eat things sacrificed unto idols, and to commit fornication. So thou hast also them that hath the doctrine of the Nicolaitans. So the doctrine of the Nicolaitans was the doctrine of Balaam.
Mm-hmm.
And of course you have to think, well, what did Balaam do wrong? Well, Balaam came with all of his sorcery, came with all of his powers, and tried to curse the people of Israel, and could not. He said he couldn't bless them. He couldn't curse them because God had blessed them. And so he came up with a creative idea. Since I can't use my powers to curse them, then let's seduce them into compromise.
Well, this just rose up in me. He had compromised himself.
Yes, he had.
And that's the reason he was in trouble, because he'd been offered money to do this.
That's right.
And a lot of all the other perks and stuff that went along with it. But that's when you compromise, you will begin to try to get others to compromise with you. It makes you somehow or another, it justifies your own, because you know you're wrong when you did it. He knew he was wrong when he did that. But then you try to get others to follow you along in this compromise, and that's the way Satan operates, to get you in deeper and deeper and deeper and deeper and close the walls in around you.
Well, of course, the doctrine of Balaam was, let's tell the men of Israel, let's send these prostitutes out before the men of Israel, get them to lower their guard, and if they lower their guard, they'll commit fornication, eat things sacrificed unto mm-hmm. idols.
And then we can.
And then they'll be defeated.
Yeah.
And that's what these errant leaders were doing in Pergamum, just a few. They were saying, you know what? Let's not be so stiff. Let's be respectful of others. It wouldn't help, it wouldn't hurt us just to burn a little incense to the gods. It will just give us peace with our neighbors. What will it hurt us just to bend a little? And Jesus said, I have this against you. And the word against is the word kata. He was very against them for this. Because once you begin to compromise, there's just going to be another compromise and another compromise, and it drains the power of God.
Yeah, amen. And it gives place, it opens the door. Like one person said, you let the devil in the back seat, he's going to want to drive. And so the more the compromise, the it begins to reproduce itself, and the deeper it gets, and the deeper it gets, then Satan will do his best to make it look like to you you can't get out of this. But we have evidence right here that you can.
You can.
That's the reason he came. It wasn't to condemn them; it's to get them out.
And he even told them how to get out. He told them to repent.
Yeah, amen.
He said, repent, and then notice this, or else. Now, he was not speaking to the whole church. The majority of this church was holding fast to the name of Jesus.
Well, that's what it said, wasn't it? That's what he said, yeah.
But he was speaking to a few. And he said to them, repent, and it is a command in Greek. Repent, I'm commanding you to do this, or else I will come unto you quickly. The Greek says, soi, I'll come directly to you. And for those who were in sin and who refused to repent, it should have been perceived as a threat, because Jesus was telling them, if you don't do what I'm telling you, I'm going to deal with you in a very severe way. Repent, or else I will come unto you quickly and fight against them with the sword of my mouth. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says unto the churches. This was the cry of the Spirit to the church 2,000 years ago, and this is still the cry of the Holy Spirit to the church today.
But it doesn't end there.
It doesn't end there.
To him that overcomes. In other words, you guys that are listening to me now, if you'll repent and you hold fast to my name and you get back right here, to him that overcomes will I give to eat out of the hidden manna, and I'll give him a white stone, then a stone, a new name written, which no man knows except saving he that receives it. A new level of authority in my name.
That's right.
Because you're an overcomer. You were in that compromise, but you just finally shut down on it and said, I'm done with this. I'm going home to Jesus. I'm coming out of this thing. You don't just come out where you were. You come out stronger. You come out better. You come out higher.
And Brother Copeland, a white stone was used when you were voting in someone's favor. When Jesus said, I'll give you a white stone, he was literally saying, if you'll do the thing that is right, I will cast my vote in your behalf.
Praise God. You don't need anybody else voting for you except Jesus.
Wonderful.
Hallelujah. Isn't that good?
It is. Well, it's wonderful.
Now, in the name of the Lord Jesus, I want you to take hold of this right now. Father, I pray for every person that is facing this very situation. I mean, you may think that you have just thrown your place with God away. You have not. You have not. He's for you. He's not against you. You rise up against the devil and against the thing that's stealing the life out of you. And in the name of Jesus, you become an overcomer. Now, how do you be an overcomer? The scripture says, he that has made Jesus the Lord of his life is an overcomer. And this is the victory that overcomes even our faith. Now, you just rise up and take hold of faith in God. And take your stand on the name. Take your stand on the Word of God. Because we're standing with you. People here in this ministry are standing with you. Praise God. We have prayer going on here 24 hours a day. And in the name of Jesus, we're believing with you right now. So be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. And be made whole and be made free in His name.
Amen.
And Brother Rick and I'll be back. Just a moment.
No room for compromise. That's what Christ is saying to the church of today. Rick Renner, noted author and speaker, draws upon years of research and study, brings together thorough historical, biblical, and prophetic insight in this comprehensive volume about the Church of Pergamum. Although written about the ancient church, this message is still most relevant to the church today, which truly makes it a must-read for every believer. Take a virtual tour through his descriptive writing and see Scripture come to life with on-location pictures and beautiful works of art. Historians and church leaders alike agree that this body of work is the very best of its kind. Experience a fresh hunger and a deeper reverence for God's written Word. Hear what the Holy Spirit is saying to the church in our generation and be empowered to answer and overcome when your faith is challenged. Stand up for Christ in faith and make no room for compromise. Order No Room for Compromise, Rick Renner's new book, a resource of historic details and prophetic insights. Rarely will you find a book of this caliber. Available now for $70 Australian plus shipping. Phone us at 1-300-730-433 or go to kcm.org.au. For Asia, go to kcm.org.sg. Stand firm in faith without compromise and live in victory. Order today.
Now, before we close, let me go right back to that verse where Jesus said, repent, else I'll come unto thee quickly and fight against them with the sword of my mouth. That is his word. excuse me, what Jesus is saying here, I'm going to make this right with my word. My word will fix this. My word will change anything that anybody will take hold of the word of God and stand on it by faith and stay with it, having done all to stand, stand therefore. Amen. That word will begin to rise in power, and it'll put down every devil. It'll put down every sickness, every disease in the name of Jesus. Amen. Now, if you've never accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, hey, don't go another second. Now, notice this. In the 10th chapter of the book of Romans, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth Jesus is Lord, and shall believe in thine heart that God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Well, how do I know, Brother Cole? Because the sword said so. Amen. The very word of Jesus said so right then. For it, with your heart man believes to righteousness, with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture, the word, the sword of God says, whosoever believes on him shall not be ashamed, and there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek. The same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whoso, are you a whosoever? Yes, you are. I don't care whosoever, whatever you did in the past, that didn't have anything to do with it. No, the sword will fix it. Praise God. Amen. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. So pray this with Brother Rick right now. I'm going to lead you in prayer. I'll pray, then Brother, will you pray when Brother Rick prays? Oh God in heaven.
Oh God in heaven.
I believe with all my heart.
I believe with all my heart.
Exactly what your word says.
Exactly what your word says.
That you've been raised from the dead, Lord Jesus.
That you've been raised from the dead, Lord Jesus.
Come into my heart.
Come into my heart.
I receive you now as my Lord and my Savior.
I receive you now as my Lord and my Savior.
Receive me.
Receive me.
I thank you with all of my heart.
I thank you with all of my heart.
I repent of sin.
I repent of sin.
I receive my total forgiveness and cleansing.
I receive my total forgiveness and cleansing.
I renounce the past.
I renounce the past.
I renounce the devil and everything he stands for.
I renounce the devil and everything he stands for.
I'm asking you, sir.
I'm asking you, sir.
Fill me with your precious Holy Spirit.
Fill me with your precious Holy Spirit.
I receive now.
I receive now.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Now, if you prayed that with Brother Rick and me today, I want to send you this little book. He did it all for you, free and postpaid, praise God. That'll get you started reading your Bible. You don't need to be struggling with this book. It's not a struggle. You just need some guidance and some help, and we'll send it to you and get it to you just as quickly as we can. Bless your darling heart. We love you. And until tomorrow, this is Kenneth Copeland and Rick Renner again, reminding you that Jesus is Lord.